Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Focus on Albany. Today is the day after this momentous presidential election, this national election. And it's truly amazing. I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning to look at the headlines. I was really surprised because everybody kept saying Hillary was going to do it. But my guest today is Alan Collins. And Alan, of course, is from the Student Loan Justice. And he's going to give his take on the election and the student loan crisis. So, Alan, are you as shocked as I am?
Well, actually, I have to say I'm not that shocked. Certainly on the student loan issue, of which there are 44 million borrowers, 27 million of whom, most of them Democrats, are badly distressed on their student loans. Hillary was offering nothing significant. And, you know, in my opinion, Hillary ignored and abandoned these 27 million people, most of them who were inclined to vote for her. And so while I'm not sure that many of those people voted for Trump instead, but I do think that a large number of them simply didn't vote, or maybe voted for the Green Party or other third party. And, you know, the Democrats really threw this one away. I mean, talk about all the elections that were completely winnable for the Democrats. The fact that they lost speaks volumes about their bad policy for this election. I'm only speaking about the student loan issue, but if the student loan example is any indicator, the Democrats and Hillary fell far away from the needs of the citizens this time around. And Donald Trump made them pay.
In looking at my Facebook feed this morning, all of my Democratic friends were in total, they were mourning. They were actually mourning the loss of this election. They were beside themselves. I had friends on the phone who were crying to me. And, you know, when you kind of look at the whole thing, you know, as a big picture, I agree that Democrats could have done a better job for the simple reason that from the get-go, Hillary Clinton was coronated by the media and by the Democratic Party. And the fact that she did nothing for the 43 million Americans that are in debt speaks volumes, I think.
You know, that issue alone, if Hillary and the Democrats would have been even halfway decent on this issue, and believe me, they were not, and I can explain that in detail later, but if they would have even been minimally satisfactory for the citizens on just that issue alone, that would have turned that loss into a solid win on a par with the numbers that we saw with Obama the last two times around. So the student loan issue alone cost them that election. And don't get me wrong, it was a close election. But like I said, her opponent was not very strong. I mean, Donald Trump, compared to, say, Mitt Romney, was a far more beatable candidate, put it that way. There was a lot to go after with Trump. And the fact that the Democrats couldn't even beat him really speaks volumes about their horrible policy.
You know, there was talk, you know, the last few days before the election that, you know, there was no path to victory for Donald Trump, that he's going to lose big. And I was watching the election returns till around 10:30, 11 o'clock Eastern time, and there were many states throughout the country that were saying it's too close to call.
Right.
And, you know,
it was a very close election, Cynthia. You know, Hillary actually won the popular vote. But just in the Electoral College, Trump edged her out first in Ohio, then just barely edged her, and then in Florida, and then Wisconsin fell, and we knew there was something was afoot. And, you know, by the time they called Pennsylvania, that was it. It was over with. Very stunning. Very stunning. And that really speaks volumes, again, about how horrible the Democrats' policy was. You know, the arrogance. And you hit it right on the head. I mean, she was coronated early on. She ran essentially a prom queen campaign. And where other more courageous candidates would take a large lead and use it to improve their agenda, Hillary Clinton used this large lead as an excuse to do even less with her agenda. And this was her fatal mistake, in my view.
Now, during the campaign, did Hillary Clinton address the student loan crisis at all?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. Hillary offered up two things. Number one, the prospect of the notion of a debt-free college. What this was a new pot of money for the colleges to take in return for reducing tuition to zero. The fact of the matter, this plan only would have affected about maybe 5 million of the 20 million college students out there. And quite frankly, it wouldn't have worked as advertised. The schools could have very easily used this new revenue. And while they may have decreased their tuition to zero, they could have easily raised their other prices in other areas, their fees, and so forth. So at the end of the day, this wouldn't have been a debt-free plan. It would have just been another pot of money given to the schools. And the college kids, just the 5 million that this would have affected, would have been borrowing essentially the same amount as before. So this was a plan designed for people who don't even vote, and it was designed very poorly. So that was a fatal flaw. The second thing that Hillary was putting forward for people who've already been through college, have the debt, and incidentally vote, was a very weak refinancing plan that even by Clinton's own numbers would have only saved the average borrower maybe $1,900 over the lifetime of their loans. And that is a drop in the bucket when you consider that the average undergraduate is now leaving school with $35,000 in loans and far, far more for graduate students. So it was unimpressive, massively, hugely. In fact, it was insulting. This was far worse than where she was when she was in the Senate 10 years ago. So that's why when I say she's taken two steps back away from the students and towards the lending system, that is the banks and the Department of Education, that's what I mean there.
Now, when she was a senator, how much better was her stance on the student loan debt crisis than it was while she was running for president the first time and the second time?
Yeah, great point. When she was in the Senate, she introduced the Student Borrower Bill of Rights Act. This was a bill that we incidentally helped her write. It was a very good bill. It would have put repayment caps on loans over 10 or 15 year periods. It would have restored standard free market refinancing rights, which it was fairly good. But most importantly, her bill would have returned long-gone consumer protections, including bankruptcy protections and others. So a lot of people don't realize student loans are the only type of loan in our nation's history to be specifically vacated of bankruptcy protections. And this is really the cornerstone of why this lending system has become so predatory and inflationary. So the bill that Hillary introduced in the Senate 10 years ago was a really good bill. By the time she ran for president the first time, the bill was essentially in the rearview mirror. And by the time she ran this time, the bill was left in the dust. And her higher education policy clearly was coming from the Center for American Progress, who had hired good old boys from the Treasury Department and from the Department of Education to be their thought leadership on the higher education issues. And so she was taking her notes essentially from the banks and from the lending system this most recent go-round. And I cannot tell you how sad I, as a lifelong Democrat, was to not be able to endorse Hillary Clinton this time around. She really screwed up.
There are many Democrats today who are upset, very upset. They wanted her to win. Do people realize that she messed up on a number of issues, and that was the reason for her loss?
Well, you know, I talk about the student loan issue and I try to stay in my lane, but I have to say, you look at her glowing endorsement of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, calling it the gold standard of trade agreements, and, you know, I think that really is a huge poke in the eye to anyone who has lost their job overseas or, you know, had their jobs otherwise disrupted. And, you know, we could talk about a few other issues as well, but I'll just say just those two issues there were certainly enough to cost her the election. Just the student loan issue alone was enough to cost her that election, but I'm sure her trade policy was similarly hurtful.
When Bernie Sanders came to Albany, came before the primary, and he addressed, there was 1,000 people in the audience. He addressed the student loan, I'm sorry, he did not address the student loan debt crisis. He talked about everything else, but he did not address that. Therefore, I think the whole premise was to avoid that issue completely.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I don't want to talk bad about Bernie Sanders. I really liked his rhetoric, but Bernie Sanders' policy platform on student loans was terrible. It was almost no better than Hillary's, maybe just barely marginally better. But really, his plan was not, it was equally insulting. And so the way the Hillary people framed it, it said, oh, look at us, we adopted Bernie's higher education plan. Well, Bernie, for all his great rhetoric on other issues, he was not good on the student loan issue. And so if they thought they were going to get any Bernie supporters that way, they may have gotten a few. But, you know, as I said, both of these plans were so unimpressive from the get-go. Whether it was one or the other really didn't make a difference by the time we got to yesterday.
Now, I know you and your organization is in constant contact to try to get the legislators in Washington, D.C. to, you know, do something. Did you contact at all Hillary Clinton? And if you did, what was her response?
We contacted the Clinton camp many times. In fact, we even demonstrated in front of their headquarters
both in Brooklyn and at her high-rise office in Manhattan. We got almost entirely ignored by Clinton staff. And I can't tell you how disappointed that made me. You know, 10 years ago, I essentially wrote probably two-thirds or 60% of the Student Borrower Bill of Rights. And to be so completely ignored this time around was, well, personally, it was really sort of offensive to me. But I think it speaks volumes about the detachment of the campaign from the actual needs of the citizenry. I think Hillary and her staff were just so deep inside this elitist, beltway bubble or something that it was just impossible for them to craft legislation that actually worked for the people. And it was all about image for them and not about substance. And, you know, people aren't stupid, Cynthia. People smell when they're being sold a bill of goods. You know, they can tell when there's no meat in the hamburger. Whether they know it analytically or just by the gut instinct, people have pretty good sense. And the substance just was not there for this campaign, not on the student loan issue, certainly not on the trade issue. And, you know, even on the minimum wage issue, Hillary had to be pushed kicking and screaming to get anywhere near close to where, for example, Bernie Sanders was and where many state legislatures are today. I mean, many state legislatures are in the process of passing $15 an hour minimum wage bills. And so this was just sort of a campaign doomed to fail in many ways. And, Donald Trump capitalized it and I capitalized on it. And while Trump really didn't have much substance to run on at all, just him being there throwing personal attacks was enough to really generate a lot of not only resistance, but I would say sort of hatred against Hillary. And it's disappointing.
I'm sure that you contacted Trump's campaign also. What was your response when you contacted Trump's campaign?
You know, believe it or not, we actually got further with the Trump camp than we did with Hillary's camp. Unfortunately, it didn't translate into any public policy platform items that we were hoping for. But the interchange with his staff was at least a meaningful exchange. And, you know, to this day, we continue to work closely with the highest level decision makers, at least on the higher education issue within the Trump campaign. So we're hopeful. You know, we have been fighting against both the Democrats and the Republicans for years now. So from our perspective, that Hillary lost is just not, I can't really say which is more disappointing, whether had she lost or had Trump lost. I have to say that on balance, I'm seeing a little more upside potential with Trump. I mean, here's a guy who himself has personal experience with at least corporate bankruptcy on many occasions. And indeed, the return of free market protections like bankruptcy protections is something that every true conservative fights for and champions. So I'm thinking that, on balance, I'm pretty hopeful that we can get somewhere with the Trump campaign. Time will tell. It'll be a very interesting 4 years.
Now, you must have contacted Jill Stein's campaign, right?
Yeah, in fact, the Green Party is the only party that we endorsed this election. We tried very, very hard to get to a point where we could endorse either of the major parties. But in the waning hours of the campaign, in fact, just 3 days ago,
We finally came out and publicly endorsed the Green Party and Dr. Jill Stein, and actually are making a $50 contribution to the party, which is something we rarely do.
Did you contact the Libertarian candidates also?
We had a few people contact the Libertarians, but unfortunately the Libertarians, and maybe I should just for your guests' benefit, the Green Party was going far further than our moderate argument for the return of standard bankruptcy and other consumer protections. The Green Party was calling for the cancellation of all student loan debt, and so it was a no-brainer that they got our endorsement. The Libertarian Party was very vague and ambiguous on the issue. They talked about abolishing the Department of Education and, I assume, ending the entire student lending program, but they were they wouldn't say anything about what to do with the $1.5 trillion in outstanding debt. Now, if Ron Paul, who was a Libertarian years ago, if his position is any indication, they would have probably kept the debt in place. And according to Ron Paul, the idea was to transfer the debt to the IRS for collection or something. So Libertarians really didn't offer anything to us, even back when Ron Paul was with them. And today we didn't notice any substantial policy change with them. So at the end of the day, the Green Party was the only party that we could support. And what a shame that is, Cynthia, I have to tell you. You know, the Democrats used to fight for the students, and you know, even as recently as 2007, were pushing legislation to return bankruptcy protections to at least private student loans. Even Jeb Bush had returning bankruptcy to private student loans in his campaign agenda, so that neither Trump nor Hillary even acknowledged the issue, much less addressed it, was just hugely disappointing, just astonishing.
Now that the House and Senate, as well as the President, is all going to be Republican, what is your – are you hopeful that something will be done within the next couple of years?
Well, as I see it, either Congress is going to acknowledge and address this problem and at a minimum return standard bankruptcy protections, or – the entire lending system is going to evaporate into a mist of illegitimacy. Student loans are going to become one huge national joke, and nobody will pay. And so, on that note, I'm very hopeful. You can't let a problem get this big for much longer. I mean, the numbers are just too shocking when you see that this is now significantly impacting the ability of young people to, you know, buy cars and purchase homes and form families. You know, we've got a real problem, and I just don't think that this problem can go on certainly through the next presidency. In fact, I would say through the next couple of years, something's got to give. And if Donald Trump and the Republicans don't recognize this, and at a minimum return standard bankruptcy protections, we're going to see this entire lending system just essentially vanish. And it could get really ugly. And I'm watching TV right now and seeing tens of thousands of people marching in the streets from New York to Oakland to Portland to Seattle and Philadelphia and other cities, Chicago. And I can tell you that the citizens have had it. Certainly on the student loan issue and perhaps on other issues as well.
You know, one more question about the student loan, and I think this is the most important. Jill Stein addressed this time after time after time, yet it didn't resonate, and Jill Stein did not do that well in the election. So if she spoke about it and there's a problem and people didn't vote for her, there's a disconnect there. What happened?
Yeah, I agree. Well, there's just a huge inertia with our bipartisan system to where any third party will have a very hard time being taken seriously. And while the Green Party had a great agenda going, certainly on the student loan issue, you know, people just don't like to vote for a loser. I think a lot of people would rather just sit home and not vote than vote for somebody promising something great who they know just can't win the election. And I think that's a real
wow.
shame. I personally think that it's time to end this two-party system in our country. I think it's really outlived its usefulness at this at this point, if it ever had a usefulness.
So as the new administration comes into office, you know, you'll have an idea of what's going on. So after the holidays, why don't you come back on Focus on Albany to share your thoughts about how the student loan crisis will be addressed in the Trump administration?
I'd be very happy to, Cynthia, and hopefully I'll have some good news for you.
Okay, thanks so much. You've been listening to Alan Collins from StudentLoanJustice.org. This is Focus on Albany, and if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes, and if you have a comment or about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter and share your thoughts. Thank you, everybody. Good night, and good night, Alan. Bye.